Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Jessica Tai.
2 hours down, one to go. It's Wisconsin's Midday News for a Monday. Hope your weekend was great. We settle into fall here. No more baseball, but the Bucks begin the regular season on Wednesday. So from one sport to another, and the Bucks welcoming in Chris Middleton and the Wizards on Wednesday night. Should be a fun start to the season here.
That's going to be emotional, too, with Middleton coming back.
Yeah, definitely. Chris Middleton played so many years in Milwaukee, had a wonderful career with the Bucks. He's kind of a mentor position now with the Washington Wizards. Peter Fagan said, yes, you could expect a bit of an honor and a tribute to Chris Middleton when he returns to Milwaukee on Wednesday.
He's like a brother to Giannis.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. 2:10, here's some big stories that we're following into the afternoon.
Here's your top 2 at 2 on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Number one, Amazon recovering from a big outage this morning. Did it impact you? Knocked out popular apps and websites around the world. A few hours later, the company said it had fixed the problem. But then, a little bit before noon our time, there was another problem. Amazon called the issue an underlying issue, signaling to many industry analysts that this was not a hack. Ripple effects, though, definitely being felt from banks to airlines. CBS News tech contributor Ian Scher reports, this stands down to go as just an inconvenience for most of us. But here's the thing, and Greg, this is the thing I found the most fascinating as this went on today, is just how much of the internet was impacted. Like, how many places are connected to Amazon, right? Scher says one of the takeaways is when Amazon sneezes, most of cyberspace catches a cold, or at least a few symptoms.
Even though the internet itself is designed to be decentralized, titans of industry like Amazon have become such key players that when they have trouble, practically the entire internet is affected.
Yes, according to Down Detector, the app that tracks problems like these, some of the sites affected were Facebook, Amazon, of course, Disney Plus, Lyft, McDonald's, Snapchat, United Airlines, Venmo, Verizon. We were talking about Ring doorbells before. So much.
Well, so the Ring thing makes a lot of sense to me, right? That makes a lot of sense because that's an Amazon product. If you try to ask Alexa, what's the forecast for today, and got a I'm having trouble connecting message, that too was likely connected to this. I understand that. I understand how Whole Foods could be affected potentially, or Zappos or Twitch. I don't get why McDonald's had a problem. Like, I don't understand how this all links.
It's Amazon's Cloud Computing Services Unit, AWS, that was having the continued problems, and that's how it's all connected. Some United and Delta customers even reported on social media that they couldn't find their reservations online, they couldn't check in, they couldn't drop off their bags. And imagine that panic, because if you're traveling, then all of a sudden you go into your phone and you can't find your reservation or you can't check in. You're just like, I mean, that's time consuming,
that's panic,
right?
Too.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's rough. The dropping off their bags, it is really nice when, well, I don't even take a bag usually because it's just so nice not to if you can pack everything in. But hopefully you could just go to an actual person. I know a lot of people don't like to do that anymore. You just go to the little kiosk and do it yourself,
well,
and that's
yeah.
Nice, especially if you're fast with it. But yeah, hopefully they could take it to a person. But I don't know, maybe that person couldn't print off the little tag.
You just have to revert to the old way of doing things when something like this happens.
Handwrite those tags?
Exactly. I remember back in a previous life when I had a job and the credit card thing would go down. I had to get out the... I don't even know what it was. I had to get out the thing.
You wrote the receipt?
And it had like carbon paper on it. And you slid the thing across the credit card.
Oh, I
and
remember.
The number
yeah.
got transferred through the carbon paper. Half of our listening audience is like, what? What are you talking about? But yeah, that was a thing. And it collected dust underneath the desk. But if the card reader was down on the keyboard of the computer that I was, you know, typing stuff into, well, I had to bring out the machine, do it that way, manual. It's okay. We still got the job done.
Oh my gosh. Your memory just reminded me of an old school memory. When I worked at Boston Store, my first job back in the day, the Boston Store, Brookfield Square, if you got people to sign up for a credit card, you then took that application upstairs and you got $2.
Oh, big
time.
And
that was like the best. $2. You could use it in the vending machine. I mean, it was $2. You could use it anyhow you wanted, but it was kind of nice. It's like, yeah, I got another one. If you got 3 in one day, $6.
Spiffs on credit card signups. I love that. Number two, the U.S. military has carried out 7 strikes against alleged illegal drug smuggling vessels in the Caribbean. At least 32 have died. There was a strike last Thursday on a semi-submersible. 4 people were on board. 2 people ended up dying. 2 survivors were actually picked up and brought aboard a U.S. Navy ship. ABC News senior Pentagon reporter Luis Martinez with the latest on those survivors, who the White House are calling enemy combatants.
The administration has sent them back to their home countries, Colombia and Ecuador. What we know is that Colombia says they're going to pursue legal action against the individual that was returned to their country. But it raises a whole bunch of questions, Kira, about the legality of this enterprise and whether, as the administration has claimed, this is an armed conflict against the drug cartels. Then why was it that these individuals were not being held by the United States as POWs or as unlawful enemy combatants?
Now, the strikes are not sitting well with Colombian President Gustavo, who said one boat targeted last month was actually a fishing vessel that got lost.
Petro writing, U.S. government officials have committed murder and violated our sovereignty in territorial waters. The Colombian boat was adrift and had its distress signal up due to an engine failure.
Trump has pledged to end U.S. aid to the South American country. 2:15 here on WTMJ. Well, a perfect storm of bad cocoa crops and new trade tariffs set to spook wallets this Halloween, driving up the cost of candy, costumes, pretty much anything else you can associate with the holiday. But the National Retail Federation says, who cares? People are going to treat themselves and participate anyway because, I don't know, it's Halloween. The never spooky Jim Ryan joins us here. He is not the reason that costs of everything are going up, but there's a number of reasons for it here, Jim.
Right. Well, most of them we have no control over. The weather in West Africa, for example, in Ghana and the Ivory Coast. They've had drought there. They've had flooding there, then drought, then flooding. And that has wiped out a lot of the cocoa crop and the stuff that's left. The price goes through the roof. They ship that out. That's used to make chocolate that we then toss into the pillowcase of the little kid standing in at the door in front of us. So, yeah, that has driven up some of the costs. The tariffs also, you know, the decorations, the costumes, the things that we buy as part of Halloween, much of it comes from China. And there are tariffs in place, steep tariffs in place on imports from that country. So put it all together, and, yeah, this is going to be a very expensive holiday this year.
I don't want to jump too far ahead, Jim, but I'm also thinking about Christmas and candy in the stockings. Are we likely to see any relief on chocolate prices before those holidays?
Well, probably not. And in fact, the chocolate that we're going to give out this year and then we're going to eat this year came from cocoa beans that were grown a couple of years ago. And prices are up now from where they were back then. So it's likely that through Christmas and even next year, maybe the year after that, we'll continue to pay ever higher prices specifically for chocolate. So what does that mean? Well, in a lot of cases, Jessica, families may skip the chocolate. They'll be tossing in Skittles and Nerds and Pixie Sticks and other stuff that doesn't contain chocolate at all.
Yeah, toothpaste and microwave popcorn being handed out by the Matzik family this year. It used to be a thing. You know what people need to start doing
Skip
here, Jim?
Skip the Matzik household.
And, well, what you do is adults maybe go out with your children for Halloween, do some trick-or-treating. Then adults take that candy, shelve it for a year, then put it out for the next crop of kids to come the following season. Isn't that genius?
You're going to find, wake up the next morning with your house covered either with eggs or with toilet paper.
Fair enough.
The world's most stale candy.
Well, nonetheless, this is a $13 billion industry, Jim, and it's only going up here. I can't imagine we're going to do a story next year on how Halloween all of a sudden is so much more cheap than it has been in years past. But people go to great lengths. Halloween, Christmas, people forget about Thanksgiving because they can't monetize it the same way.
Well, no, not in this way, certainly. I mean, there are some slight and minor decorations, things like that, I suppose, and lots of food that's purchased, but you don't have the decorations that we see at Halloween or the candy or the costumes. And speaking of costumes, for kids, we're going to spend $1.4 billion on costumes, according to the National Retail Federation. $1.4 billion. For adults, it's even more than that, $2 billion. And, of course, we're going to spend $860 million to buy costumes for our pets. $860 million. Huge amounts. That's almost as much as we're going to pay for kids' costumes. The most popular costumes for kids are Spider-Man, princesses, and witches. For adults, witches, vampires, and pirates. And for pets, pumpkins, hot dogs, bumblebees, bats, dressing your cat as a dog, dressing your dog as a cat. Those are all popular pet costumes that'll play into that $860 million purchase.
I never subjected my dog to that, but I do think they're cute sometimes with others. But nope, never did that with bats. Hey, you mentioned tariffs affecting costume prices. Are some families skipping store-bought costumes altogether this year and maybe choosing to make their own to save some money?
Yeah, that's always an option there, and I think you'll find a lot of that stuff on Etsy or on TikTok. Look, just drop in, a homemade costume or a clever use of stuff we have at home, and sure, there may be a lot of homemade stuff out there, and watch for that in the kids coming to the door, and so those are some of the best costumes of all, aren't they?
Jim, a couple of weeks ago, I had pitched some local ideas that you could make yourself to Greg. I had him rate them, so I did Milwaukee, kind of newsy ideas. This is something that you could think about in your news world, too. So we did one of them. Actually, one of them was a data center. That was kind of interesting with lights. Another one was the flooded festival goer, because we had that historic flooding in August for State Fair. And then we've got this awesome troll that is made out of scraps of wood. And so we called it Mama Rosa, the big troll. Did you have any favorites, Greg?
I did like the troll. I gave it a 6 out of a 10, but over the course of the summer, wasps had started to build nests in the ear of the troll, and I thought if you could take that to your costume, it would have taken it to a 10.
That stuff is really off in the woods, though. You've really got to be attuned to what people are thinking about. Somebody shows up with this costume and...
People in Tulsa know the troll, Jim.
Level.
People in Tulsa know Mama
Rosa.
There
you go.
Got to go next level. Hey, you mentioned the dollar amount here, Jim, just sort of nationwide. Can you boil it down to what individual families might spend? This is still a pretty pricey adventure if you break it down.
Well, absolutely. And, for the per-person spending is a record high now, $114.45. That's about $11 more than last year. Previous record was $108 in 2023. Seemed like we were spending a lot, in 2023 to celebrate Halloween. So, yeah, per person, something like $114 for a family of four. Then we're talking like $400 if everybody dresses up and everybody eats candy.
What was the last time you dressed up, Jim? What were you?
I was thinking about this this morning. When I was a little boy, I had a Batman costume. It was just a mask and a cape. And I must have worn that thing 5 years in a row. There was no,
nice.
Hey, let's go and get a new costume. It was like, you're Batman. My little brother was Robin. And that was it.
Aw. If you love it and it works, why not?
Yeah.
And it still fits, I guess.
I still remember the smell of that mask, that sort of plasticky material.
Well, good stuff, Jim. We always appreciate checking in. Happy Halloween a little early here from us in Wisconsin.
All right. See you guys.
Thanks, Jim.
Yep, you bet. We'll check in with Jim again later this week. So I wonder if there's a calculation for a kid who picks out a Halloween costume in September, and then by the time mid-October rolls around, changes their mind after the costume has already been purchased and secured, maybe beyond the window of being able to return that costume. Not that that's ever happened in our household. Okay, maybe it's happened like 3 years in a row.
It's happened three years in a row?
With our youngest daughter, we keep having to say, like, honey, you just got to pick something and go with it, right?
Yep.
Pick something and go with it. And she has changed her mind, and she has a hard time settling on a decision, right?
Or
things
you
change.
Have to wait until like a week before.
Right, and then you're paying the rush shipping
minute.
Or perhaps in maybe just a bottom of the barrel costume opportunities.
Where are you going though? I feel like Amazon, you can get it the next day.
Typically,
unless there's a problem like today and you can't get on the website, things like that. You can typically get it the next day.
Typically. But she pulls out some interesting options.
Do we know what they're going for this year?
Well, a K-pop Demon Hunter is what our youngest wants to be this year, at least so far. We've got a lot of purple wigs showing up at the house. I assume they're for my youngest daughter. I don't know for sure, I guess, but we'll find out. October
31st. I would not 31st. Be surprised, though, if you walk through the studio with a purple wig one day.
No,
that
I'm
would
just going to be
Greg
a
Manzik.
Banana that you can peel from the top.
Oh, yes.
It's comfortable.
Was that last year?
Yes, but I liked it
every
a lot.
Every year.
Year
after year. It's a
might
favorite.
Do it again.
Okay.
So my father has a theory about all the orange barrels that are on the freeway system throughout the course of the summer.
Oh, yeah? What's his theory?
Well, his theory is that Milwaukee's just run out of storage when all the plows and everything have to go into storage. They have to bring their orange barrels out. And even if they're not doing construction, the orange barrels are on the freeway because, well, there's nowhere else to put them.
I could understand why he believes that, because oftentimes, and this would be a perfect example right now, if you look at 41 and you see the construction delays, and that is our construction zone, but it doesn't mean that people are working at this very moment. Oftentimes they're working overnight, but the construction barrels are still out there. So I get where he's coming from.
Well, construction might as well be a four-letter word here in the state of Wisconsin. Raise your hand if you like it. Yeah, right? While the end result might not be pleasing, the process of arriving at the end result can be quite stressful. In 1 week from today, years of construction delays will begin for Milwaukee motorists, and just in time for Halloween. I don't like this, but it's coming. Phase one of a project, it's focused on the West Leg. So the West Leg is this area of I-94 between 70th Street and Zablocki. It's scheduled for completion in late 2028, and construction begins 1 week from today. Motorists, however, are really going to notice November 3rd. The week of November 3rd, the methods of circumventing traffic to get downtown will be shut down. Several of them. Be mindful of this. There's going to be a single lane closure in each direction of I-94 between 70th and Zablocki. They want to make this four lanes, but to get it to four lanes, they're going to condense it to two. So the bottlenecking will be there until this thing is complete. Holly Road, that whole interchange, long-term closure, dramatic overhaul of that whole situation.
And they've been talking about that for years.
Yes.
I mean, I remember when I was working at CBS, you take Holly to get off and get back on right there. I mean, it's easy peasy, right? And that was all going to change. And I remember that was a big discussion with Hunger Task Force, too, because their location was over there. It's not anymore. Now they're at a new location, beautiful big building. But Hunger Task Force was concerned about that.
Well, if you're coming through downtown or to downtown from maybe the northwest suburbs, I-94 is a mess, right? Maybe 4145 is a mess, which it frequently is. Okay, so you go over to 175, maybe take that down to Brewers Boulevard or I-94, maybe Canal Street. Well, that too is going to be compromised. The system ramp from southbound 175 to westbound 94 is going to have a long-term closure. The entrance ramp from 68th Street to eastbound 94. Maybe you're one of those who gets off the freeway at 84th. Takes the frontage road by State Fair Park and the Pettit Center.
Ooh, I know the way to go.
Right.
I'm going to bypass all that traffic.
Pop back on at 68th Street and grin and bear it until you get to the stadium and then maybe cruise by Canal Street. Not that I've done that 150 times in the last week and a half.
Never.
This is just phase one of this project, right? You're talking about a completion date somewhere late 2028.
Mm.
We'll have a different president at that time. Right. Just think about that. Like the years of construction. And this is just phase one. Phase two involves much more, as does phase three.
Imagine how much the Halloween candy could be then.
I know.
How much beef will
right.
be.
Right. How much everything. How much hair are people going to have left if they're driving in and out of downtown on a given day? So work on the eastern leg is going to begin in 2027 and continue through 2022. And then they'll start hammering away at the stadium interchange. That actually will begin in 2029 to be completed in 2033. So here you go, beginning next week, Monday.
Yes.
8 straight years of construction at a cost of $1.7 billion. This is where it'd be nice to live
downtown.
I thought
we were just going out on that note.
Well,
screams and But it's got to be done, right? And we're just going to have to grin and bear it. I mean, there's nothing we can do. Work starts 1 week from today. And the I-94 East-West project expected to last for 7 years. I emphasize that because you know how construction projects can go. Expected to last seven years. Could be a lot longer.
And delays, funding, all that kind of stuff. Eventually, it's going to move west, by the way, to Waukesha County. And that area right now is also heavily trafficked. It's a significant issue on the corridor out there where Paul Farrow, the county executive, is really fighting hard to get expansion. And they're going to study this, but ultimately Tony Evers has not recommended that funding go that direction yet. I think that's coming. So I don't know, just add another 5-6 years onto this. But never-ending cycle of construction begins on Monday of next week.
We need to be like the Jetsons.
I know.
We need those flying cars to finally come.
By the time this
all
gets done,
Milwaukee.
that might be a thing. Hop into your little helicopter and fly off to work. 2:43 on WTMJ.
Okay, you ready for this? Milwaukee Bucks just unveiled new food, beverage, and retail offerings for the season. I always like this because I always like to know what's new. Gets me excited. What do you want to start with? I'll let you pick, Greg. Food,
main
beverage,
course,
retail?
I'd say main course.
Okay, and then, you're starting with food?
Well, I had some dessert earlier that was brought back from Pfizer
That's
Farm.
Right,
it was
two
cookie dough balls that had sprinkles on it. It was wonderful.
I came out of one of the production bays and I saw I thought it looked like a little soup. And he does eat a little bit before our show, so I thought it was lunch. I thought it was soup. And then you said it's cookie dough.
Yeah, it was cookie dough.
And it had Jimmy's on top.
Yeah, it was great.
Or some people call them sprinkles.
Yeah.
Here in Milwaukee, did you call them Jimmies growing up?
I was always a sprinkle guy.
All sprinkles?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, Jimmies, it's very weird for some people, but a lot of people call them Jimmies. Jimmies are sprinkles. You had something on it, and you ate most of it, and you liked it?
Oh, it was all gone. Yeah.
Okay.
It fantastic.
I didn't get any of that. I did see it come in, but then it had been sitting there for a while, and I thought, after a while, okay, I'll pass. I'll have it at the Bucks game, right? Okay, so here's something. I like this because the Bucks, they're doing a first with this. King's Hawaiian. The Bucks will become the first NBA team to serve King's Hawaiian pretzel bites. And pretzel bites, those are so easy to pop.
Really like that, good, yeah.
That's a good one. It's a good snack. It'll fill you up, right? And it's not too messy. Because sometimes you're watching the game and then you grab a couple napkins. You don't want to get super messy. So I like that one. I like the fact that they're going to become the first NBA team to serve that. Plus, King's Hawaiian, you know those little buns? Oh, gosh.
Yeah, they're going to be nice and crispy on the outside and airy on the inside, right? Shareable, good for the kids. Love it.
Flower Child Pizza, which I love. I go to Flower Child Pizza quite a bit, actually, in downtown Milwaukee. I know last year, and I believe before that, too, they had one area in a section like the 100 level. Well, now they're going to have pizza stands at sections 119 and 224. They'll have whole pizzas in addition to pizza by the slice options. That's kind of fun if you're bringing the family. You can have a whole pizza there. You can get a garden salad, Caesar salad, that sort of thing. Mecca Burger Bar, new loaded fries will be available. Also, loaded baked potatoes. You like those? Those are at the Southside Market.
Really good.
Yeah, and that's healthy. It can be healthy depending on what you load them with. Retail. This is where things really get excited this year. I love. There are two things that I'm just absolutely loving here. Bengals Workshop. It's brand new, fully immersive, and interactive. So this is a fan experience. I love when you can put your stamp on something. It's going to open in early November outside of Section 109. The creative studio, they say, will give fans the opportunity to custom build their gear and walk away with a one-of-a-kind item. How great is that? So you're going to be able to customize a jersey, a t-shirt, a hat, hoodie, basketball, whatever you want, with patches, embroidery, or laser engraving. I just think that's cool. That's really neat. So instead of just going and getting a t-shirt that everybody can have, you can make it your own.
Yeah, and I like that because it's special to Fiserv Forum, right? You got to be there at the pro shop, maybe for a game, getting it done. With respect to wherever you can get Bucks-related stuff around town, you got to go to the arena to get this.
This, also very cool and new this year, new Nike On-Court products. What does that mean exactly?
Expensive.
Yes, you're right. But how about this? On-court jackets and shooting shirts worn by your Milwaukee Bucks during the warm-ups. They're going to be available.
That's cool stuff. I like that.
That's pretty cool. That's a story to tell, right? You know whose jersey this was?
Authentic jerseys, really authentic anything, stuff you see the players wear when it ends up in the pro shop. Very high dollar amount, yes, but also very authentic.
I guess we shouldn't say jersey because it's the on-court jackets and shooting shirts. Let's be specific because somebody's going to go in there thinking like they can get a Giannis jersey. No. It's not that good.
Well, it starts on Wednesday here with the Bucks hosting Chris Middleton and the Washington Wizards. That game can be heard right here on WTMJ, your home for Bucks basketball throughout the year. 7 o'clock, the tip on Wednesday night. Opening night here for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Let's go, Bucks.
2:51 here on WTMJ.
Well, how about that Packers game? We got the win. We're a little nervous that we might not get it, but yeah, we beat the Cardinals 27-23. Did you see and did you hear all the Packers fans in that stadium? Wow, do we travel well down to Arizona? And I have to give a big shout out to our good friend of the program, Bogey from Sheboygan, because Bogey, he got together a great grand trip and he took 110 Packers fans. All 110 of those Packers fans were on the same Southwest flight. And they went down there. He sent back pictures. You got all these Packers fans in the mountains outside of the stadium. And if you were listening, you could hear the roar of the Packers fans. It kind of sounded like it was a home game, but it was not.
If you're going to pick a game off the schedule here to bring a group of 110 people to, I think Arizona probably jumps off the page, right? Good decision. Go to Arizona. October in Phoenix, that greater area.
It looked lovely.
Cool down a little bit, but still plenty warm, comfortable. Just a beautiful location and a fun travel destination, as evidenced by the 110 people that hopped on the plane and traveled out with Bogey and the crew. And that's what he does. He organizes trips for Packers fans. That's why he's in the Packers Fan Hall of Fame.
So fun. And you know, at the end, we got a good game. Micah Parsons with the sacks. I mean, that was a career high for him. That rocked. Josh Jacobs, he was mic'd up. Did you know that he was mic'd up? And I was listening to some of it. He kind of laughs after every hit. I was not expecting that.
He seems to enjoy it somehow, in some way.
And that
right?
I get, but I wasn't expecting the laughs.
Well, I don't know that I would enjoy it.
It's kind of like almost like a giggle from Josh Jacobs.
And a 61-yard field goal, all that and more. Here's how it sounded on Sunday in Glendale, Arizona.
First a goal from the 7, inside the 5 to the end zone. Touchdown, Josh Jacobs. Hands it off to Jacobs, and he is in for a Packers touchdown, his second today.
Yeah, Josh is a dog, you know. You know you're going to get his all every time. And obviously, you know, last week he's dealing with an illness. This week he's dealing with, a strain, an injury. So, he's one of those guys that you just know you're going to get his best every time. He loves the game. And he finds ways to make big-time plays and kind of just put the team on his back, and that's what he did today.
Lucas Haversick. From 61, and the kick is good.
He's answered every challenge that's been put in front of him. We don't win that game without his ability to go out there and make all his tries, his attempts. I mean, a 61-yarder, I didn't envision that going into the game. He's done a hell of a job.
New set of downs. As Brissett has the ball knocked loose.
Bumbo.
That's recovered by the Packers. Jordan Love and the Packers on fourth down. Love throws to the outside. It's caught for a first down by Kraft.
I looked up at the clock, saw how much time was left. I was like, no matter what we call, this guy's going to make it work. Didn't necessarily get the play that we wanted, but it doesn't matter sometimes when you have guys that have confidence in what they're doing. And Tuck did a hell of a job winning on the route. Our O-line protected, and Jordan gave him a chance, and that's exactly what it took.
Who fakes the handoff to Jacobs, and now throws, and it's taken in for a touchdown by Kraft.
He's trying to win the game. It's something to switch his in. That's what we practiced this week. We had a clean 2 minute in practice this week, and it led to having a clean 2 minute in the game. And the one before half was rough. We got fixed that, but I'm just glad we finished it. Finished that one at the end of the game.
You talk about it being time to go win a game. What goes through your mind as you're going on the field for that last series that offense finally has the lead you need?
Yeah, it's just like, this is what we practice for. This is everything that we work, everything that we said we wanted to be, and we had our moment. We just took advantage of it. Now it's just about how can we play complete four quarters, finish stronger this time. So it kind of was flip floppy. I just want to do a consistent four.
Second down and 15. Brissett in trouble, and he is sacked. Parsons once again, along with Clay Walker, third and goal. Brissett, Parsons again. Parsons takes down Brissett. Need a touchdown from the 26. Here comes Parsons. Wow.
Let that go.